Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bread of Life Faith and Works Community Church lecture series hosted by Pastor David Allman. God bless you all. I hope that all is well and safe with everyone, considering this springtime winter storm, half blizzard, half not blizzard. Anyway, we look forward to it melting off next week with the warmer temperatures. It's not going to last very long. What a blessing it is to be in the presence of the Lord. He is sovereign over all, and He is glorious, and He is majestic, and He is the ruler of us all, and He cares for us and governs our lives with the greatness of His love and mercies and compassion. Let us start with a word of prayer and get into our study today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We rejoice in you, that you are sovereign over all things and that you have your way in all things. We ask you, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins and wash us and cleanse us through the precious blood of Jesus and to restore each one of us into your arms, into the very heart of you, Lord God. We, by the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, we bind every unclean spirit in every part of the kingdom of darkness that would try to hinder this time or do anything against this time. You have no authority in this place. The Spirit of the living God and Jesus and the Father reigns, and you, kingdom of darkness, every demonic spirit, and Satan, you yourself, be gone now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we call upon you to teach us the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord God, as you always are, a caring and loving helper and comforter to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We finished off with the book of Mishlei, chapter 11, verse 5 last week. We are starting in verse 6 of the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 6. We will again read from the Hebrew translation into English. The righteousness of the upright will rescue them, but the faithless will be trapped in the destruction they perpetrate. The righteous of the upright, the righteousness of the upright will rescue us. In the Old Testament days, righteousness, even though that Isaiah says that our righteousness is as filthy as rags, we know that there were many who were righteous enough to go to paradise. Even Jesus said, Abraham is over here, and Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, and looking across the great gulf was the rich man, and the rich man in hell was asking Abraham to send Lazarus over to bring some water to quench the fieriness of hell and his thirst. Of course, we know that no one could cross from one place to the other, where Jesus said there's a great gulf betwixt the two. So we know that there is a certain amount of righteousness, and we know that Jesus preached to them the gospel, and they are all now in heaven and taken from paradise and brought into heaven. I sometimes wonder if there is a way that they can see those across that great gulf today yet. And I sometimes wonder if paradise was removed and brought into heaven. We know that by different men and women who have been taken to heaven, have seen Abraham, King David, the Apostle Paul, and many others in heaven. So I just wonder. But the righteousness today, it is of Jesus. Saints of God, when we receive Jesus, his righteousness was imputed or placed upon us. And now we are made righteous through Jesus. Our righteousness in of ourselves don't cut it. But Jesus' righteousness is all we need. We don't have to think about our righteousness that's as filthy as rags. Ah, but the faithless will be trapped in the destruction they perpetrate. The faithless. I'm going to use a gentleman of my past, a man who got born again and came out of the drug world, and then backslid and went back to the drug world. And I saw him on the city bus one day when I was taking the bus. And I asked him, well, how come I don't see you in church anymore? And I proceeded to pick his brain a little bit. He finally opened up to me and he said, you know, I tried all that faith stuff. I tried all that stuff and it just don't work for me. So I went back to what I know works, the drug world. The faithless will be trapped in their destruction that they perpetrate. He had a hard time believing the very word of God, and he had a hard time establishing faith in the things of God. And you know that when that is taking place, that the enemy is in operation and his destruction is by his own perpetration because he refuses to stand in faith and allow the word of God to work within him. There is a good example of faithless. What does the commentary say here today? We will look at Rabbi Hirsch, conscientious observance of God's commandments in itself, protection from many ills. The more that we walk in conscientious observance of the Torah, and I'm speaking not just the law, the full word of God, provides in itself protection from many ills. What would be the ills? Well, if we obey the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, there are many problems with adultery or any type of sexual sins. STDs, an unwanted pregnancy, the breakup of your marriage. By obedience to the very commandment of God, it keeps you from experiencing all kinds of ills or things that would be destructive to you and to others. And the other commentary I want to look at is from Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Metzudos. It is both in one paragraph, but the faithless will be trapped in the destruction they perpetrate. Traitors will be caught in the destructiveness they perpetrate. Or, and that's Rabbi Rashi, Rabbi Metzudos says, they will become trapped by the destructiveness they had planned for others. Many, many people have been trapped in their plans for the destruction of others, for their need to take vengeance on others, and end up being destroyed themselves. A very well-known musician is now going to spend the rest of his life in prison for trying to get a hitman on his wife, because he wanted to be rid of his wife. And this was all within the last few years, and in the latter part of last year, if I remember correctly, he was sentenced to life in prison. And by the way, this was a Christian musician. So it does not pertain to just the wicked. There are times when Christians become faithless. They become trapped in their own destruction. That they perpetrated and find themselves where they do not want to be. Therefore, it is important that we walk in the realm of the righteousness of Jesus, for the righteousness of Jesus will rescue us from many things that would be destructive to our very being as well as others. Verse 7, when a wicked man dies, hope is lost, and the expectation of his offspring perishes. Many wicked men and women have died. Their children suddenly realize that all hope is lost. Patience of the offspring, they perish, for they lose a lot by the wickedness of their parents. Let's take a recent example. In the news, coming from the hood in the South, a mother, who by the way is a robber, a thief, is extremely angry at this woman for killing her son. Well, her son came into her home, was going to rob her, rape her, and kill her. She shot him dead in her home. She managed to be able to get her gun and shoot him dead. And the mother goes, She ought not have shot him. He was going to college. Robbing people was his only way to get money so he could buy clothes and the things that he needs for school. What? The demise of the offspring, the expectations, perishes because all hope is lost. The wicked perpetrate wickedness within their offspring, and there are no expectations that will bring about absolute good hope. I find this very appalling for this story to be in the news, because we see that the wicked are teaching their children the very wickedness that they're doing, and sometimes their children are going to die at the hands of either a police officer, a security officer, or at the hands of a regular civilian who chooses to fight back and not be a victim. In today's society, where conceal and carry is in the majority of the states, you would think that they would be afraid to rob someone, but I guess not. Rabbi Bacha is our first commentary. And he says, why particularly in this verse the wicked person is referred to as a wicked man? The word man is related to the word earth because Adam, the first man, was fashioned from the earth, an individual who is drawn after earthly concerns and expends all his or her efforts in pursuing his or her physical lusts and desires is considered wicked. All expectations perish with him or her, for all his or her hopes were for physical rather than spiritual gratification. With his or her death, nothing remains. We find that in his or her death, they go to hell, and there's nothing that remains. Nothing remains. There is no hope for those that are walking in their wickedness, for eventually hell and the lake of fire is their demise. Let's take one of the greatest, wickedest persons of the modern era, Hitler. Today and through the decades since World War II, unless they're cruel to their child, no one wants to name their child Adolf or Hitler. The demise of the wicked is continual. There is no hope for them. There is only hope for those who are in Jesus Christ. For those who are in Jesus Christ have the blessed hope of eternal life. And we get the glorified body where there will be no pain, no suffering, no sicknesses, no injuries, no anything that would represent the current physical mortal body that we live in. I enjoy the blessed hope that we have. Our second quote comes from Rabbi Vilna Gaon. The word hope implies immediacy, while expectation is a long-range hope for the future. The wicked person expects good for himself or herself personally, and he or she expects it immediately. And this is lost as soon as he or she dies. his or her long-range hope for the future good of his or her children and their hopes of benefiting from their father's or mother's actions will also perish with his or her death. Very interesting perception into this verse. There is no hope for the wicked. Let us move on to verse 8. I'm almost skipping a verse here. Verse 8. A righteous one is extricated from trouble, but a wicked one comes in his place. The Holy Spirit moves in mighty ways. And we have, according to Psalm 91, as well as referenced in the book of Hebrews, we have guardian angels and ministering angels that each one of us have been appointed by God to have. How many angels do we have? Well, we know we have at least one guardian angel and one ministering angel to each one of us, so that's at least two. And as long as we continue to remain in him, in Jesus, and allow the imputed righteousness of Jesus to remain within us, they will extricate us from trouble. While the wicked will take our place in that trouble. I'm going to reference an actual destruction of an airplane, an airliner. This airliner was crash landing on the runway at an airport here in the U.S. In the crash landing was the result of being clipped by another airliner. One airliner that was taking off was on the wrong runway and didn't realize it, while another airliner was landing on another runway. Needless to say, there was an explosion and there was flames everywhere. And this gentleman, a born-again saint of God, filled with the Spirit of God, all he could say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it was like the guardian angel surrounded him with a bubble, and he was literally lifted up out of the plane through the hole in the ceiling and set aside away from the flames and the debris, and he turned around, and all of a sudden all the fire trucks are out there and the police and everything, and they're wondering why this guy is out here. I was in that plane. They checked the manifest and he was on that plane. How did you get out here? Well, he explained what had actually happened. It was a miracle in the eyes of these firemen and police officers that this man was brought out of that plane and did not die. There were only a very, very, very small amount of survivors between the two planes. as it was quite a number of years ago when this happened. But it's very interesting because we find that God will extricate us out of trouble. And a wicked one will take our place. Many that did not know Jesus died in those plains. But let's look at what our commentary says. We're going to start with Rabbi Metzudos. If a misfortune is decreed upon a righteous man, and due to his good deeds he is spared, the decree is visited upon a wicked man in his stead. The heavenly attribute of judgment is not appeased unless someone else comes in his stead. And he gives a reference to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 18. I beg to differ on good deeds. The Bible clearly states there is no one righteous, no one, but one, Jesus. No matter how many good deeds, no matter all the good deeds that we do, no matter what we are doing, we have absolutely no righteousness. And that could save us. The righteousness that saves us is the righteousness of Jesus. In some respects here, cause and effect that is happening here, and God and his righteous, just judgment, his judgment must be appeased. Now, that may seem a little harsh. The greatest appeasement of his judgment is when Jesus died upon that cross so that every soul who would receive him could be saved. The judgment was meted out upon Jesus, an innocent man who took our sin and our judgment upon himself. A man who walked without sin. He was a man, but he was still God. And if you read Philippians chapter 2 in the first few verses, you can see that he stripped himself of all that he was as in his divinity, so that he could walk among us as a man to save us and be that perfect man. Tempted, yet never sinned. Our second quote comes from Rabbi Rashi. Rabbi Rashi says this verse is connected to the previous one when the wicked man dies and the righteous man is saved from distress. And our last quote from this verse is Rabbi Hirsch. He says that there are situations when attractive and advantageous, but evil schemes may be present to a righteous person who rejects them out of hand. Instead, a lawless person carries them out, thereby causing his own destruction. Thus, the righteous person escapes unharmed from the results of that evil. A good example, let's take my job situation. A good number of years ago, within the first 3 years of my current secular job as a security guard at Oshkosh Corporation, I worked particular gate that took me through certain buildings and certain offices, while this other person worked a different gate and had to go through these other offices. And all of a sudden, laptops started disappearing. And then they set up a camera. I could not take anything because of my convictions as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And here's a wicked man. I refused the temptation. As Rabbi Hirsch says, that there's an attractive and advantageous of evil schemes, but I rejected them. But this lawless person carried them out. He was eventually caught. Didn't take very long with cameras to catch who it was. They strategically placed very small cameras that you couldn't see, and they got him. And he went away to prison for a great number of years. So we find that the righteous, yes, the righteous in Christ can withstand evil schemes that are presented to one, but someone else, a lawless person, will take advantage of. Verse 9, with his mouth a flatterer corrupts his fellow, but the righteous are extricated through knowledge. Isn't it about the norm for the lawless person, the wicked? They're always flattering, they're always scheming, they're always encouraging others to put their lot within them. Let's reference the word back in chapter 1. Put their lot within them. They love to turn around and try everything possible to corrupt others and get them to come with them, because there is happiness, which is false happiness, by the way, when there are more than one person together to scheme and do wickedness and lawlessness. Yes, saints of God, some of us were those type of people. But praise be to the Lord God, for he has saved us from these things and set us free from these things, because now through his righteousness we are extricated through knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord God that we are learning in his written word. That the wicked, they don't get to go anywhere in the end. It may seem in this life that they are prospering, but in the end is death, eternal death. Let us rejoice and be glad that we saw the light, that we didn't reject the way of salvation. And we should be endeavoring to speak these very things unto others, to allow God to snatch them out of the darkness that they are in, so that they can enjoy the light and eternal life. Our first commentary comes from Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Yonah, a flatterer who convinces his or her friend to go on an evil path, destroys him or her with his or her glib, G-L-I-B, glib mouth. A glib mouth. It's pretty self-explanatory here of Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Yonah. They work by the flattery to convince the other person to put their lot with them and walk upon this evil path. Our next quote will come from Rabbi Yonah. Flatterer destroys his or her friend by praising him or her for his or her wicked deeds, thereby encouraging him or her to continue in his or her wickedness. The righteous, however, do not deceive themselves. They do not let such praise go to their heads. The sages advise in the ancient writing of Hebrew scholars, the Nida, N-I-D-D-A-H, that even if the entire world tells you that you are righteous, you should still consider yourself a wicked person. Why would they say to consider ourselves a wicked person? Without Jesus, we are absolutely a wicked person. If we don't choose by faith to put to death and crucify the flesh, the old nature, the sinful nature, those evil inclinations, and make the choice to walk in the Spirit, thereby being in obedience to God, we are walking in the wickedness that we were born with. We are born in sin. We are naturally wicked and evil people. Left to ourselves without God, we will contrive to do every type of wickedness. There isn't a single soul out there that is the best of the best in goodness without Jesus that doesn't do some wicked thing. That is because we are all sinful by the very nature that we are born into, from the very fall of man, from Adam all the way down, from generation to generation to generation. It is only through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that we can be righteous and not wicked. But we must walk in the realm of submission to the obedience of the scriptures by crucifying the evil inclinations, the flesh, the sinful old nature, and walking in the new man, which is the new spirit, which is in Christ. If you were to take a study of just the phrase all the way through the whole entire New Testament, you would grasp who you really are as a disciple of Jesus. Our final quote in this verse comes from Rabbi Vilna Gaon. A wicked person who wishes to entice others away from God's service will approach them with flattery and sweet talk. Consequently, most heretics are good-natured, thus gaining the friend's confidence and subsequently misleading them. Only the righteous who are constantly involved with commandments and know God's ways can recognize the danger in their enticing words and be saved from them. I will say it again and again and again. You must become a Torah scholar. The bank teller handles real money, so that when the bank teller suddenly feels something funny in their hand, they know it's false money. It's not real. It's counterfeit. It's the same way we must handle the word of truth and handle it constantly and all the time, daily, so when someone who is a heretic comes along with heresies and false lies of the kingdom of darkness to twist the very word of God so that you can sin in whatever way you want or go in a different direction than the truth. Like the Apostle Paul said, if anyone teaches you a different gospel, refute them by the truth, because I have given you the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we must stand fast, stand firm, handle the word of truth so that we will know when the lie, the heretics, come. It is vitally important that each one of us as saints of the living God, disciples of Jesus Christ, handle the word of truth. We have time to cover one more verse. Let's go to verse 10. The city exalts in the good of the righteous. And when the wicked perish, there is glad song. The city exalts in the good of the righteous. When righteous people rule, the city is found exalted. When righteous people rule, the wicked find that they cannot have their way. They know that if they stay and commit their wickedness, eventually the authorities are going to come after them. There are many things throughout the scriptures that talks about when the righteous rule versus when the wicked rule. When the wicked rule, they become dictators and very hard taskmasters. When the wicked perish, there is a glad song. Imagine the joy in the midst of their sadness when the Jews heard toward the very end of World War II, that Hitler was dead. When the wicked perish, there is a glad song. Imagine the joy when Israel became a nation in the year 1948. When the wicked perish, there is a glad song. Our commentary will come from our first quote of three, Rabbi Ezra and Rabbi Metzudos combined. When God gives to the righteous, the people of their city are happy, for the righteous share their bounty with others. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that we have not yet come to. I'll paraphrase it. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So we know that the bounty that the righteous receive, they share it with others. Rabbi Metzudos says, since they had harmed others during their lifetime, there is a glad song when the wicked perish. Throughout the centuries, there has always been a glad song when the wicked perish. Our final quote of the day and final quote for this verse comes from Rabbi Vilna Gaon. The two parts of this verse are sequential. When saving the nation of Israel from their enemies, God first redeems his nation and bestows good upon them, and afterwards he punishes their enemies. For instance, God first took Israel out of Egypt, and only afterwards did he drown the Egyptians in the Sea of Reeds. Similarly, Mordecai was elevated and honored, see Esther, chapter 6, verse 10, and subsequently the wicked Haman was hanged, see Esther, chapter 7, verse 10. In this way, the wicked person himself or herself witnesses the omnipotence of God and the honor God gives Israel. When God brings good to the righteous, the city exalts. However, they still do not joyously praise God, but once God takes revenge upon the wicked and they perish, there is glad song, quote unquote. Even though Rabbi Vilna Gaon referenced many instances in the life of the nation of Israel, we can reference that very same thing within our own lives. I can always remember the difference in my life. From the time I got saved, what it was before, even in the midst of the differences between the early years of my walk in Jesus, where it was an up-down thing, I would walk with Jesus and then backslide, walk with backslide. Once I committed my life and decided there's no more backslidings, I'm going to put everything of my life into Jesus, there is a noticeable difference. There is joy in my soul. And even though sometimes circumstances and situations in my life come against me, and at times it's hard to walk in that joy, I persist forward, knowing full well that I will have a glad song to sing in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all. So, saints of God, I call you to sing out a song of joy and gladness in the midst of your situation. The prophet Isaiah spoke on these very words. The songs of joy will lift the spirit of heaviness from you, and you will be set free. That's my own paraphrase. You will find that in the latter chapters of the book of Isaiah. The spirit of praise will lift the spirit of heaviness. Remember, saints of God, joy unspeakable beyond measure can be had if we will live in the uprightness and in the righteousness and know that those who are the haters and the wicked against us, one day we're going to sing a glad song, for they are perishing. And that's where we will end today. Remember, if you have any questions, please go to my Facebook page, David C. Allman. Make sure that you see underneath my name in parentheses, Pastor David C. Allman, SR for Senior, and post your questions there. I will readily answer your questions. Make sure you tag me so that I will see your post for your question, for I receive many, many posts from many other sources each and every day. So please be sure and tag me, because I see all the tags. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We just thank you, and we rejoice in thee that through Jesus Christ we've been made righteous, so we can receive the very joy of you, Lord God, in the midst of whatever circumstance and situation we're living in, and we can sing these songs of gladness in our heart and be merry in our heart, for we know that you are the God who has moved guardian and ministering angels, and the blood of Jesus is against those that choose to come against us as well. We are in thee, and you will always take care of us. We rejoice and ask you, Lord God, that as we rejoice in these things, that you will seal your words upon our heart and help us to live them out in our lives. Have your way with each one of us and be glorified as you move within us to walk in the very essence of practical Christian living through the realm of living holy as you are holy and fearing you, Lord God, and being obsessed and passionate for you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Remember, saints of God, tomorrow is Good Friday. Make sure that you find the church that has a Good Friday service and enjoy the time gathered together with other saints, as well as remember, this Sunday is Easter Sunday. We get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the first fruit of the resurrection, giving us a blessed hope. Until next week, everyone, be blessed beyond measure.